I want to let you know that if you open up your bulletin, there are a lot of different things going on in the upcoming weeks, so make sure that you take a look at those, and we'll be talking about more of that as we go throughout this message and throughout this month. But we talked last week about the youth going to Tybee Island and talking about giving, which we just got done talking about. As we give faithfully to church, we're able to take care of things like this, like gas for the van and helping the youth to go out and spend some time together to grow in fellowship. So take a look at how it went. Real quick, when I saw that picture of Max's head just sitting there, it looked like a soccer ball, and I just wanted to go, boom. It's like, not when I was there. I just saw it on the pictures, and I was thinking, man, I wish I could have got a picture of that. You know, that'd be fun. You would have liked it, right, Max? That would have been great, right? So, hey, we're going to be opening our Bibles today. We're going to be going really just one passage today, but we're going to be opening them. If you did not bring a Bible or forgot to bring your Bibles, there are Bibles in the chairs in front of you. You can also hit the QR code there, and you can follow along with the message. You can take notes. You can do all that jazz. It'll be really, really good. So make sure that you go ahead and click on that, and then also bookmark that. Go ahead and revisit these passages throughout the week. So, I know everybody's still clicking the QR code, so. We're working on getting QR codes on the back of the chairs and getting a one QR code. You know, we're talking about on Wednesday nights, the one covenant. We're looking to try to find one QR code to rule them all. So be praying for us with that. I want you to write this down, though. Write this down. And I'm watching. When we become the church God designed, or you can take a picture of it, He builds what we can never build on our own. Let me say that again. When we become the church that God designed, He builds what we could never build on our own. You ever notice how people love the idea of a great church? People are like, man, I want a great church. I want to go to a great church. But people tend to disagree on what makes a church great. Some people look at a church and are like, man, they got great music. I just love the music. I just feel the energy. It feels awesome. I love the music there. They're always playing the best songs. It's like a professional. It just feels so great. And then you have others. They're like, man, I really love the programming. They have such great programs, the kids program. They got a water slide in the back for the kids. It's amazing. You know, they're like, I love the programs that we have. And they're like, no, I love the preaching. The preaching's amazing, man. He just makes it all come to life. And, you know, and then like the virtual reality and the whole, it's just all unbelievable. The preaching, it just feels so good. And some people are like, I love the facilities. Man, the great facilities. And the fact that sanctuary can be an ice rink in the winter is awesome. The way they do this, so the things that they have there. Oh, I just love the facilities. And some people are like, man, I love the energy. Feel the vibe. Man, you pull into the parking lot and people are coming up to you. Hey, you want to park here? It feels so great. It feels so welcome. It feels so good. It feels awesome. And listen, none of those things are bad. I like good music. I like strong programs. I'm definitely in favor of decent preaching. Hopefully. But the deeper question is not, what looks successful from the outside? The deeper question is, what kind of church did God design us to be? You see, we can build a church that looks impressive. I mean, we could just go out today and we could take out a whole bunch of loans. And we could just build all kinds of stuff and make a church that's amazing and build whatever we want to build. But if we're not devoted, if we're not connected, if we're not discipled, if we're not caring for one another, and if we're not reaching people with the gospel, there might be a lot of activity, but we're missing the heart. So today, as we close out our dream series, we're pivoting from asking, what dreams do I have for my life? And now we're asking, what dream does God have for His church? And what kind of church is He calling FCC Perry to be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we open Your Word today, as we take a look at the early church, as we take a look at our church, as we take a look at how we can be more like the early church that You bless so abundantly, I pray that You would speak to our hearts. For some of us right now, we've got some hurting hearts in the room. Maybe some people who've been hurt by the church. Maybe even there are some people watching online who have been hurt. Maybe they feel like they've been hurt by this church or some other church. And their hearts are tender and soft. And I pray that You would speak to them the tone and the words that they need to hear. Some of us are tired. We're just tired of serving. We're tired of working. We're tired of doing things over and over and over again and seeing minimal results or feeling like we're not appreciated. And I pray that this morning You would speak to us the words that we need to hear. And some of us, we become complacent. Maybe we've even been a little lazy with our service, with our faith, with the gifts that You've given us. So I just pray that You would speak to each one of us exactly what we need to hear this morning, that we would have open eyes, open hearts, open minds, and that Your Spirit would commune with ours, and that You would reveal to us and show us what You are calling FCC to be. that you would show us the vision, Lord, that you would bring that to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we want to know what the church is supposed to be, we don't start with church trends. We shouldn't start with what's popular. We shouldn't start with what draws a crowd. We start and end where we should always start and end, and that is with the Bible, with the foundation of our faith. We go back to the beginning. We go back to the early church. Here at FCC, that's one of our things, is that we want to go back to the early church. We want to be like the early church. We want to go back to a simple New Testament Christianity. And as we'll read in a second, we'll see that they had a pretty good thing going. They seemed to know what they were doing. So it makes sense that we would want to get back to there and get back to that methodology and that pattern that we see in the early church. Because in Acts 2, we see a simple, powerful picture of New Testament Christianity. It's not complicated. It's not flashy. It's not consumer driven. You get a new car. You don't see any of that in the early church. Just a spirit-filled people devoted to Jesus, devoted to His Word, and devoted to one another, and devoted to the mission. This morning we're talking about the early church, how they operated, and what resulted. My friends, this is what the early church looked like. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So let's make a few early church observations, if you will. First, they were devoted. They devoted themselves to the teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. It wasn't a cultural thing for them. They weren't going to church because, hey, that's what everybody does on Sundays. And if you're a good Christian, Wednesdays. And Thursdays sometimes. No, they did that because they were devoted. Why were they devoted? Because their lives had changed, had been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there were other people that they knew, their lives had been changed as well. See, if you go to Circle K or to Kroger, you can meet a lot of different people, but not everybody there has had their lives transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So you can go up to somebody and say, praise God. They say, praise God, but you don't know why they're saying praise God. It could mean anything to them. But here, in the early church, they came together because they were devoted to one another. They were devoted to the teaching. They wanted to learn about Jesus. They wanted to learn about how Jesus could affect and transform their lives even further. You know, how many people, like, say you're rubbing a crystal ball or something, you know, and you get like 10 bucks and you're like, okay, that's good. I'm just going to stop. No, you keep rubbing it, right? Keep it more, right? How many people say, I give my life to Jesus. My life's transformed and I'm good. I'm good now. How many people says, well, if my life was transformed, how about if it got transformed a little bit more? and maybe a little bit more. So maybe you helped me in this situation, but now my finances are going great, not because I rubbed the crystal ball, but because I trusted Jesus with my finances. My relationships, the unforgiveness, the hurts I've had, those are being transformed because of Jesus. And these people, they had this experience of Christ, and they said, we want more. So that's why they got together, not because it was Sunday. They got together because they wanted their lives to be transformed even further. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So that doesn't mean that they just memorized it or just wrote it down or put it on their bumper sticker or something, you know, on the back of their donkey, you know. No. They actually applied it to their lives. They devoted themselves to the teaching and to applying it to their lives. And they devoted themselves to fellowship, to getting together with the body of Christ. They broke bread, not just on Sundays. It says that they did it in their house with each other. They are always getting together with one another. How many people in this room have you broke bread with in your home this past year? They did that all the time. You know why? Because they knew out there the wolves were out there and that things were scary and things were bad. They needed one another. So they devoted themselves to each other. And then also to prayer. To prayer. They knew that's where the power was. They knew that the power wasn't just in them. It was the power was God working through them and through their prayers. So they devoted themselves to those things. They were devoted to those things. And they were relational. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And it wasn't like, oh, I got to do this or I got to do that. You know, they were together because they wanted to build those relationships. They were not scattered. They were not isolated. They were not disconnected. They were together. There wasn't anybody who came together and said, who's that guy? I don't know. Is that Ahmed? I don't know. Who is that? I don't know. No, they knew each other. And they knew each other, and each one of them, they knew that they were known as well. Because they were devoted and they were relational in how they handled things. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing? 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 No, they sat there with each person. They learned who the person was. They knew because they were doing life together. And they were generous and unified, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. They shared what they had. You know, it's funny. I'll tell you a story real quick. So way back when, before I was in ministry, and I was a baby believer at Midland Christian Church. And I was selling I was delivering for Domino's Pizza. And I had my car and I was delivering, but it was election day or something. So I had to go vote. So I went to the elementary school to vote. And as I got out, I voted, I got back in the car and it's not doing anything. And I see Marcia Smith. Marcia Smith was a dear old saint from our church in Midland. She was a teacher at that school, and she's walking up to the thing, and I'm like, hey, Marcia! You know, and she came, she's like, oh, JR, hey, I'm like, listen, can I? Yes, it's a little old. There were no cell phones back then. I was like, can I use the phone in the school office? My car won't start. And Marcia said, I'm like, what's that? She goes, those are my keys. I got my new Ford Windstar minivan over here. Go ahead and take that. I'll have Marianne come and get me later. I'm like, but Marcia, I'm like, I'm working right now. She's like, yeah? So you need these. I'm like, I'm delivering pizza in your new van. She goes, well, you'll have plenty of room then. Here you go. Wow, that taught me so much. That taught me so much about the body of Christ. I'm going to be honest. For me, like, you come to my house, right? And you're like, hey, can I borrow your chainsaw? I'm like, yeah, let me go. I got one around here somewhere. Oh, let me move this new one out of the way. Here, I got this one over here. It's a little rusty. It might work. You might need a chain to change the chain, you know. But don't worry about what's in that box. You know, it's nothing there, right? Marcia's giving me her new vehicle. And I'm like, yeah, I'll help. But just as long as it feels good to me. See, the early church, there was no me. There was no me. It was us. It was we. We are the body. We are the world. Anybody remember that song? But we're the body. They're the body. And they're like, we are together. And what was the result of that? Now this result did not come from great kids programming or giving away free gifts or having great worship. It came from being devoted, being relational, being generous and unified. What was the result? Survey says, and the Lord added to their number daily. Daily. Some churches haven't had a new person added to their church in over a year. And that was just some sort of church transplant from some other church. This isn't talking about, you know, oh, I just came from the church of Ephesus and I moved to Corinth. No, these were new baptized believers transformed by Christ daily. Daily. Why? Because they were devoted, they were relational, they were generous, they were unified. People were coming to Christ, lives were being changed, the church was growing daily. And you know what? Growth was not the goal. They didn't open up the trend scroll for 1 BC, you know, they didn't do it or whatever it was, and they didn't do any of that stuff. Health was the foundation, and they didn't chase growth. They just chased God, and they chased one another, and they became the kind of church that God blesses. Like I said, I'm not saying that God doesn't bless other churches. I'm not saying that. But again, we live in a very consumer culture, a very materialistic culture. And I am 100% confident that we could buy our way to a mega church. We'd be in a lot of debt, but we could buy our way to a mega church. And people say, look at what God's doing there. And I'm not saying that God can't work in those situations. But this is the kind of church that God blesses. This is the church that God did bless. And people were coming to Christ daily. So what do we do with that? How do we bring that home to Perry? How do we bring that home to us? What would it look like if we actually lived like that? Not just believed it, not just read it, but built it and became it. So these are the things we see, and these are the things that we can start to do, and then we're going to make it even more practical. They were devoted. They had devotion. It was who they were. They came together. They fellowshiped together. They didn't have to say, well, that was... And listen, as I'm saying this, here's my disclaimer. We are all working on this road of sanctification with God. Some of us are a little bit further. Some of us are stragglers. But we're all on this road walking with God. And He's working in each one of our hearts and lives. And some people here, you might be thinking, man, I'm doing all these things. And some of you might be thinking, I'm not doing any of these things. None of this is to shame or guilt or make anyone feel like they're not doing or that they need to do more. This is just simply what we see in the early church. And if we want our church to grow and be blessed by God, these are the things that we need to do. Some of us are doing it, and some of us, maybe we could use a little help. But they were devoted to the teaching. They came. Do you know that a long time ago, and we did this early on too and stuff and everything, we don't do it quite as much, but we still prepare. A lot of times people would prepare Saturday night before they went to church Sunday morning. Not prepare the potluck food or prepare, you know, whatever, where they're going to go to eat afterwards. No, preparing their hearts to receive the message. They were devoted in the early church. They wanted to hear the message. They didn't come just because they're going to come and I got to drag myself in here. I'm like dead to the world. Again, we've all been there. Some of us a little bit more than others. But we've all been there, right? And that's okay. It's okay. It's not shaming us. It's just saying, where am I? Where does God want me to be? If I want to be blessed like that early church, they didn't drag themselves in because they've been partying all night long or because they didn't sleep or whatever it was. No, they were ready and prepared to come and listen and receive the word of God and to apply it to their lives. They came to meet people and to talk to people. I want you to know, this is going to sound stupid, okay? I know some of you don't believe me, but I am, and I'm doing much better here. I've been doing really good here. But I am very, very introverted. Very introverted. But I remember, as the senior pastor at Midland Christian Church, I walked through the cafe. I got to the office. I think Carrie came in, and I said, do you believe it? I walked through the cafe, and not a single person said hi to me. And it just hit me. I'm the pastor. I didn't say hi to any of them either. They devoted themselves to each other. And they didn't sit back saying, why is anybody saying hi to me? They saw someone and they wanted to know that person. Because they're their brother and sister. I hate to tell you this. I know some people are like, I love Jesus. I just don't like the church. I just don't like his followers. Well, if you love Jesus and if you accepted Jesus, you better start liking his followers because you're going to be with them for all eternity. And if you don't like these people here or someone that you see here, get over it now. You got some time, right? Because once you get there, there's no going back, right? So they wanted to know each other. So what we want to do is we want to be devoted like them. We want to start bringing in some rhythms for us. You know, like coming to church on Sunday regularly. Did you know that the average, and this may not necessarily apply here, but along the spectrum, the average devoted Christian attends 1 to 2 times a month. The average devoted Christian attends church 1 to 2 times a month. My friends, this should not be. Should not be. So not random attendance, but coming in a consistent spiritual rhythm. And maybe you can't come on Sundays, so you say, well, I'm going to come on Wednesdays. Maybe you can come on Sundays and Wednesdays, but you figure that out and you decide and you make that a rhythm and you say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to devote myself. And you say, well, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. JR, you're no apostle. Yeah, I know, I got that, right? But I'm not giving you JR-isms. I'm reading from Scripture. I'm giving you God's Word, which was mostly written by apostles. So, especially in the New Testament, right? All New Testament. So, we are devoting ourselves to the apostles' teachings. We are learning, all of us. I say this all the time. I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me as well. So we come to learn and to grow and we devote ourselves to that. So we got to find a rhythm. And you got to find a rhythm. Now I'm going to tell you right now, some of you have a rhythm and it looks like this. It looks like this. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Boom. You know, that's not a good rhythm to be in. That's not the rhythm we're going for. We're going for the rhythm like, beep, beep, beep. Yes! Yeah! I get to go to church! The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can't wait. That's the rhythm we want. Because that's what we saw in the early church. They were devoted. They were devoted to the church. They're devoted to each other. So we want to try to do that. Fellowship. We're talking about real connection here. Not just Sunday smiles, right? Not just, hey, nice to meet you, good to see you, yeah. We're not talking about fake smiles. We're not talking about a mask. We're talking about really having relationships with each other. Knowing the person next to you. Do you know the person over there? Do you know the person over there? We want to start building that type of relationship and that type of family here at FCC. And caring. So that no one is left behind. So that people are known, they're followed up with, bless you, and they're cared for. I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes. And unity. One body. Not disconnected ministries, like there's a ministry over there, and there's a ministry over there, and this is our ministry, and this is my ministry. Everyone together, one mission, one direction. All right, so this is how, let me turn the air up or something, I'm getting kind of hot up here. Just kidding, I know you guys are all cold. This is how we build it here, okay? What does this actually look like for us? Not theory, not ideas, not vision statements, not cards on a wall. Nothing wrong with those things. But how do we start building that kind of church right here in Perry? Where we don't just write it down. You know, that passage in Habakkuk says, write down the vision so that they might run with it, right? It doesn't say, write that vision down so that they can memorize it and they can put it on signs and they can tell everybody who comes in and it can help feed the next 6 months of sermons. No, write it down so that they can run with it. So that's what we want to do, is we want to run with this. We don't want to say, man, the early church, they're pretty cool. Huh? Yeah, pass the biscuits. You know, no, they're pretty cool. Wouldn't it be cool if we were like them? If people saw us and God was doing amazing things. So are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Now, a lot of people have asked me, what are you going to do here, JR? I've got a lot of ideas. But this is where we start. And you got to start somewhere. And this is where we're going to start. It may sound simple at first. The early church, they looked simple. But the beauty is in its simplicity. Devotion, fellowship, care, unity. Besides Sunday morning, which is really a given, this is where we start. We start with faith and family on Wednesday nights. We come to Sunday for broad teaching. We go to Wednesday night so that we can grow and learn with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I come on Sunday to worship corporately. But on Wednesday, I come together so that I can learn with my brother and sister, so that we can talk, so that we can share, so that we can have fellowship together, so that we can grow as a body. When you only see somebody once a week, you're not going to have a lot of relationship with them. I mean, twice a week is kind of pushing it, right? We want faith and family to be a place where we can come together as the family of Christ. We can grow together. We can learn together. We have adult studies. We have stuff for the kids. We have stuff for the youth. I want to give you a little glimpse of what's going on right now because we're getting ready to go into the summer and there'll be a little bit of a break. Right now, we're in the middle of a covenant series. And if you haven't been there, that's okay. We're getting into the juicy part right now. Come this Wednesday. It's going to be a great time. We meet right in here. This whole section is taken up. It's great. We're all together. We're learning about the covenants. We're learning about God's word. And we're talking to each other about it. It's not just JR up here going, ah, 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 ah. No, we're talking. We're sharing. We're learning. We're growing. Because guess what? You have something that I can learn from. And I can't get that on Sunday morning up here. The person next to you has something that they can learn from. You have some they have something that you can learn from. So we come together and we learn together and we grow together on Wednesday nights. We're going to finish up this adult series, and then for the summer, the adults are going to take a break. We are going to, now I guess the summer for you guys is like 2 weeks, and the end of July, beginning of August, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, we did school like regularly, you know, like you, I guess you guys, it's like, it's always so good down here, we don't have to worry about the winter. But up, you know, everywhere else, they take off June, July, and August, because those are the only months that you can go outside and not freeze your butt off. So everybody's just at June, July, but here, my best friend, he lives in Arizona. Yeah, I'm not even sure when we take off. We're just kind of, you know, because we got to do it. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we're still trying to figure out this whole school schedule that you guys got going on. But we'll be taking off a little bit in the summer for the school break sort of thing. But we're going to get together as a church a couple times throughout the summer. We're going to have different activities. Still up in the air. Different events where we can get together as well. The kids, still up in the air about that. Me and Brandy talked about it this morning. We're going to keep talking about it and stuff and everything. But the kids' ministry might continue on through the summer. They might take off. They might take off for a little bit. We might do it every other week. But we'll get you information about that going forward. And then the youth, they're getting swim and studies. What's that? I never had a swim and study. Miranda has opened up her house and her pool. And they're going to get together, and they're going to have swimming studies. They're going to go over there, and they're going to swim, and they're going to have a barbecue, and then there's going to be devotions, and it's going to be an amazing time. I wish I could go and do that. Oh, actually, I guess I can, because that's one of the things we're thinking about doing, too. Miranda talked about having an adult pool party for the church. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. So, look, some of you sat up now. I saw you. You're like, yeah, well, really? When's that, JR? So it's not right now. Don't worry about it. We'll do, you know, when the gnats are low and the humidity is not, or we'll figure that out. But listen, you're like, you're going way long, JR, so you better skip through these slides fast. So faith and family is one thing we're focusing on. We're also focusing on kids and youth. Our kids and youth, they're our next generation. And we want families to feel confident, and we want them to feel supported. We want parents to come confident that their kids are going to get good, solid, biblical teaching for them. It doesn't mean that we're never going to have fun. But you know, some people are having a little too much fun. And they're laughing their way all the way. Well, we're going to have fun, but it's going to be on a foundation of truth. Next, healthy ministries. We're going to look at how we can have healthy ministries here. It's exciting to see Tiffany in the back right now. But, you know, she's always back working in the infants with the ark. She's been back there longer than Noah was on the ark. And that's just crazy, right? Cody and Autumn, I don't know where they went just now, but they're probably over there cleaning dishes or whatever and stuff. They're doing the breakfast once a month, and then they're having to do all the dishes and clean up afterwards. You know, Brandy, you know, she's like, I want to take a break because I'm, you know, it's been a lot, but now I don't know if I want to take a break, and you know, because I want to serve and I want to do all these things, right? What we want is we want to make sure that the people who are serving in ministry feel supported, they feel loved, they feel honored, they feel cared for, that they are served and taken care of. So we're going to be working on that as well. Senior care, no one forgotten. You understand that our senior saints, their service is the foundation of which we now stand. They should never feel used or forgotten. And many feel like they no longer have a purpose here. They should be honored and appreciated. Seasons may change and our service may change, but there is still a place for them. So we're going to be looking at how we can support them, how we can support our widows, how we can get a senior group that is lasting and maintained and sustainable and that everyone feels good about. We're also going to be developing our next hunk of leaders, our next chunk of leaders. If you're a hunk, too, you can come. That's fine. But we're doing future building. We're raising up elders. We're raising up deacons. We're raising up servants. Every church I've been in, including this one, I have the elders telling me, yeah, we've asked this person, and they said no, they don't want to serve. We asked this person. It's really sad to me when we have godly men who refuse to serve. And I think some of the reasons why they refuse to serve is maybe they don't understand it or they don't feel like they're qualified. So we're going to take care of that. We're going to have classes. We're going to help the men who are here that God has called here to be able to serve. Speaking of men, we're going to work on our men's ministry. The women's ministry, they're doing great, and I'm meeting with them, and we're going to continue helping them. But the men's ministry is, cue the crickets? No? Yeah, no men's ministry, right? No more. Oh, sorry, did I scare you? She said, tell people, I'm going to hit the thing now. I guess it's not a thing, it's a pulpit. So listen, our men are forgotten by the world. They're forgotten by culture, and they're largely forgotten by the church. And they come here, and you know they're just here. We want them to have more here than that. So starting next month, probably, if not June for sure. Well, June is next month. So starting next month. See, this is what happens when I go along. I get, men's breakfast coming soon. Coming. It's going to be once a month, the first Saturday of every month, where men come together. They can eat. They can fellowship. There'll be a little devotional. It's a time. It's a great, fun time that you can invite other men from outside the church to come to. Every church I've been to, that has happened. Men from outside the church come. It's a wonderful, amazing time. And then we're going to move it to weekly, and we're going to have something called Guy Stuff, where men are getting together weekly. Ah! Really? Weekly? Yes, weekly. Like every Tuesday at 7, men are coming together to talk about Guy Stuff. Amen. Yeah. As Christians, we need a place, as Christian men, we need a place where we can just talk about guy stuff, and we can come together and we can support each other. So that's coming soon as well. And then we have Connections Ministry. We want to do outreach with purpose. We don't want to do outreach. We want to do outreach with purpose. And a lot of times churches get caught up in just doing stuff, right? And I know we've started stuff here and then we've stopped stuff. One thing that we are bringing back, but we're going to do it differently in how we do that, is Trunk or Treat. Trunk or Treat is an amazing way to bring the church together, to serve together, and to serve our community. But not just that. It's about them getting to know who we are as a church and us getting to know them. We're going to have lots of opportunities to do that. We're going to give away free gifts. I know, are you giving away gifts? No. We're going to have something where people can sign up to win a gift for their child. And you know what they're going to give us? Their email address. And we're not going to spam them, but we're going to reach out to them and let them know about the things that are happening in the church. We're going to send things to them that are going to help them in their parenting. We're going to send things that are going to help them in their marriage and their finances. We're going to reach out to them so that when they think of where do I go for help, I go to First Christian Church of Perry. Where do I go? We're not doing Trunk or Treat because we're trying to entertain people. We are not an entertainment agency. We are not a social club, and we are not a social agency. Don't tell anybody. Shh. We want to win souls for Christ. What we want is we want more people in heaven with us. So that's why we're going to be doing these things with purpose. We're not going to be doing them in a random way. We're going to be doing them in a way that does things. So we're going to go through this real quick. What's your next step? First, commit to the body. Commit to the body. Stop being on the outside. Step into real connection. Commit to a rhythm. Commit to it and stick to it. And then commit to serving. Everyone has a role. Everyone has a place. There's a lot of things coming. Find your place. Out at the Welcome Center, or out there on that table in the lobby, you'll see there are three sheets out there. Those things I just talked about, faith and family, kids and youth, senior care, leadership, men's, connections ministry, there are places for you to sign up. This is not a sign up to serve sheet. This is a sign up for more information. Now, there's two boxes there. One says participate and one says serve. That doesn't mean you're signing up to serve. You're meaning I'm signing up because I want to be a participant and I want to learn more about it, or I'm signing up about serving because I want to learn about what you need. It doesn't mean that you're signing up to do that or anything like that, so don't freak out. But if there's something there that God is speaking to you about, if he's saying, I have you here on purpose, I don't think any of you just kind of wandered in today and like, oh, where am I? I didn't know I was here. You know, you came here for a reason, and God has you here for a reason, and he wants to do some things in your life and in this church's life. My friends, when we become this kind of church, people will be reached, lives will be changed, and God will build something bigger than us. I know this all seems a little bit ambitious, but it's time to dream again, FCC. Imagine a church where people are known, where our families are supported, where our kids and youth grow strong in faith, where leaders are being raised up, where no one is forgotten, and people are coming to Christ regularly. That's not just a dream. That's what God showed us in Acts. That's what He's calling us to. The early church, they did not have more resources than we do. The early church, they did not have better programs than we do. They just became the church God designed. So FCC, are you ready? It's time for us to stop just attending. It's time for us to start helping build what God wants to do here. To Him be all the glory. My friends, I said it before, I'll say it again. When we become the church God designs, He builds what we could never build on our own. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. Let's go do it. Dear Lord, we thank You. We thank You for these people here. We thank You for Your message. We thank You for Your truth, Your word, Your Son, the blood. We thank You that we are alive today and that we are worshiping together and that You have given us a mission to go make disciples. You've given us a vision and how to do that through the early church. I pray that every one of us feels encouraged. And even if we feel like, oh, there's nothing I can do, that You would speak to their hearts and tell them that they mean something to You. You died to save us for all of eternity, but You have died to save us for today. I pray, Lord, that we would come to You running, that we would trust in You, and we would go forth knowing that You're doing amazing things and be humbled that we get to be part of it. May You get all the glory. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you please stand? If you need prayer, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you just want to talk or pray or vent at me, I'll be back in our prayer row, that row in the back of the doors. That's our prayer row. Carrie and I'll be back there to pray with you. Come forward if you need prayer. Let's sing.